You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business.
One of the interesting elements to emerge from the lockdown in the field of education is the role of learning management systems, as students have been forced to utilize this technology at universities and private and some public schools across the country. It came up in a conversation with Saurabh Sina, an influential South African engineer and Deputy Vice Chancellor for Research and Internationalization at the University of Johannesburg a few weeks ago. And he was bemoaning the fact that we're not doing enough to develop locally coded learning management systems in the country, which is when my next guest reached out to say, wait a minute, there are locally developed solutions, and he's built one of them. Thomas Kritzer, Managing Director of Skypeum. Welcome to the show, Thomas.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Now, broadly speaking, what are learning management systems all about for those who might not be in the trenches, so to speak, of this technology?
Sure. Well, learning management systems, believe it or not, have been around for almost three decades, so they're actually in their entirety not a new concept. However, over the last three decades, they have evolved significantly. In essence, what learning management systems, or e-learning as they're also commonly referred to, gravitate around is taking content in a digital format and delivering that to a specified audience. I'm not going to go into detail about legacy and where they came from, although that is also quite an interesting conversation to be had. What we've seen over the last couple of years specifically is that there's been a significant shift from just taking content and delivering it to a learner to also obtaining and ascertaining results that go well beyond just whether a learner is competent or not. In other words, metrics and specifically data. And as we know, data being the new oil, a lot of organizations are centering around obtaining data for business to determine whether learning and development and training is actually delivering what it should. So a big shift from a learning management perspective has gone from just delivering content to actually getting metrics and data out of specifically in this case, learning and development.
And that is all around the evolution of the technology. As Peter Drucker famously said, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. And that's why this has become such a useful evolutionary step in the journey of e-learning. How did you get involved in this field?
Quite right. In fact, that's also our mantra. If you can't, slightly differently, if you can't measure it, you cannot improve upon it. Yeah, so how did we get started on with the project with Skypeum? A couple of years ago, in fact, it was in 2010, Skypeum is part, or has since become part of a group of businesses, collectively referred to as Sky Group, and we were in the market too for one of our aviation businesses for a learning management system. So we did what everyone does, you go to the market, you scour what is out there, and we just had three basic requirements of what we wanted this learning management system to do for us. One of them, we wanted it to be a gen and cloud-based system, in other words, not remotely hosted. Then we also wanted to have the flexibility around course authoring. We did not want to be reliant on e-learning course authoring tools, but rather we wanted to have the flexibility of using existing PowerPoint slides, using existing MP4 videos of training interventions, etc. And lastly, we wanted to have a high level of data output, so that we could measure our internal learning and development strategy and see what the trends are, have comparisons, etc. After scouring the market, we learned very quickly that all three are actually quite hard to come by, and especially in one system, we couldn't find one. So we then decided, after a lot of deliberation, to actually develop our own. Now, part of the group, we've got three decades of development behind us, specifically in the telephony management or telephone exchange management arena. So we had the skill set, and we then embarked on this journey. A couple of years later, we realized, hang on, we actually have a very marketable product. And we took it to the market in 2016 after it had been adequately matured internally. And here we find ourselves today.
And the name Skypeum, interesting name that. I couldn't find it in any genus or book looking for interesting species of plant or animal. It looks like a portmanteau. What is Skypeum?
So Skypeum is the combination of, in essence, three words and syllables. Sky, because it is a genuine cloud-based system and not just remotely hosted. P stands for professional, and then the IOM is a suffix for axiom. An axiom is defined as an established statement, or in other words, a self-evident truth. And this correlates to Skypeum's most powerful differentiating factor, which is granular reporting capabilities, basically presenting the true candle facts around the training environment. The three together gives us the name of Skypeum.
Skypeum, very interesting portmanteau. I love portmanteaus. Now, the work that you're doing is replicable in the broader academic sphere. And that's why the conversation that I was having with Saurabh Sinha triggered you to contact me. Tell me a little bit more about the work that you've already done with the German International School in Cape Town.
So, yeah, the majority of our clients, believe it or not, it would make sense, actually are more the corporate customers. Learning and development obviously is strongly encapsulated within developing of the skill sets of learners. Given now the rise of the COVID-19, there was a requirement also within the educational sector. And the German International School in Cape Town had reached out to us and said, look, what is it exactly that you do? We had a very quick meeting with them, ascertained exactly what the requirements are. They had preempted the lockdown and needed readiment prior to that coming into effect. And we managed to deploy the system successfully, fully integrated with single sign-on functionality, own look and feel within less than 2 weeks. The main driver behind it, of course, is to take content to learners so that they can consume that remotely from any device, be it a smartphone, a tablet, laptop, doesn't matter which operating system they were utilizing, and subsequently also, if required, assess the learner on a granular basis, understanding exactly what has the learner consumed, what have they understood, and with future enablers in place, should they want to grow the L&D space, for example, managing the behavioral change of the learner, should they ever want to go down that route, all those metrics had to be or were present within the system for them to basically expand their e-learning or home learning vehicle during not just this challenging time, but also subsequent to the lifting thereof. Digitalization is part or will become part of the fabric of learning, both in the educational sector, corporate, of course. So we deployed there very successfully, and the system is being utilized quite extensively, which we're happy to see.
Now, Thomas, do you see this as a big opportunity? Obviously, you developed this business as a B2B type business. With COVID-19, putting the focus firmly on now learning management systems in the broader education sector, are you having conversations with any of the tertiary institutions, the big universities, for example? Because they, I'm sure, would be interested in a locally manufactured, coded, developed solution. We've got locally based servers in the form of Amazon Web Service now as well. So the cloud is here, effectively allowing these institutions to zero rate certain components of these packages, which really strengthens your hand.
Certainly. So first and foremost, the position that we find ourselves in, because we've developed the system from the ground up, we own the IP, we can tailor the direction that we want to go into. And if we want to take a second approach that doesn't just focus on the corporate, but also on the tertiary education sector, we are in a position to do that, which is quite fortuitous. Subsequent to that, with regards to the AWS or Amazon Web Services now being available in Cape Town, yes, that does play a play a role in this equation. That being said, one has to unpack that a little bit. So Amazon Web Services has been around for many, many years, and the infrastructure that they supply is actually different in different geographic areas. So the capability or the functionality that Amazon Web Services provides in Cape Town is not in, or our requirements exceed what Amazon Web Services Cape Town is offering compared to an international AWS offering. That means that our infrastructure has to sit abroad. However, and this is where Amazon Web Services truly shines, they've got a system or a tool called CloudFront, and a company that is quite well known that utilizes this the system is called, well, it's Netflix. And basically what that allows to do in very simplified terms, CloudFront deploys edge servers throughout the world. There are about 215 of them. There's one in Cape Town and one in Johannesburg, where content is, let's call it, duplicated throughout all these edge servers throughout the world, meaning that if a user sits in Cape Town or in Johannesburg or in KZN or in PE or wherever they sit in South Africa, they will be drawing content from a local server. And one can, yes, technically the possibility is there to zero rate the link between the learner and the local server, whereby the IP address is then local. So, yes, one would have to obviously get the buy-in and open up their conversation to the data providers, the likes of Vodacom, CNTN, etc. But technically that is a possibility. And as we know from an e-learning perspective, the bulk of data consumed is that between the learner and content rather than reporting mechanisms or data extrapolation. The content is the bulk. And if we can solve for content, I think the majority of the battle is won.
That is fascinating. I'm going to have to invite some of the big telcos onto the show to discuss this with you, if you're keen, Thomas, in the not too distant future, because we have an opportunity to make a big impact in the e-learning sphere as we're all finding our way in this new normal that's been introduced by COVID-19. Would you be keen?
Absolutely. It'd be very interesting to see what the uptake is on that and how we can technically solve the issue.
Thomas Kritzer, Managing Director at Skype, based in Cape Town with some very innovative locally produced and coded learning management software. And let's see what we can do about opening up education to learners that have for so long been, shall we say, disadvantaged by the high costs of data in this country. It's always been the big gripe around the e-learning conversation at a school's level. Does it entrench inequality? Does it mean that only those who can afford access to these platforms can learn? Well, here we have the ability to lower those barriers. Let's see what we can do. That's a wrap from the team tonight. My thanks to sound engineer Mataba Taba Radebe and producer Andres Mahlangu. As always, I'll leave you in the hands of maestro Richard Koch in Johannesburg and Mzu in the Jazz Lounge in Cape Town. Good night.